Good afternoon, live from Santa Fe Public Radio. You're on the journey home. We're the independent alternative all about people, planet, and politics. I'm Diego Mulligan, and today it's our Friday weekend warm-up. In the studio live with me today is songwriter Jim Turr, and we're going to be hearing some songs from his repertoire, and we're also going to be talking about writing songs, especially country, rock, and folk, and after all, what else is there, right? And he's doing a songwriting workshop, too. We're going to be hearing more about that as well. Well, thanks for joining us up and down the Rio Grande Valley here at 101.1 FM and podcasting and streaming worldwide on the web at www.ksfr.org. All righty, an old buddy of mine's here in the studio, Jim Turr. Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Oh, great, Diego. God, I'm just smiling. You're probably wondering why. It's just so good to see you here. I haven't seen you in ages and ages. And
it's been a couple of years, it seems like.
Oh, my God. Well, I moved from Santa Fe. I've been living in Las Vegas for two or three years.
We actually used to be neighbors.
Yes, very close, right across the wall almost. and I just haven't seen you in a long time, and I'm glad to see you looking well, sounding well, and I'm thinking what a resource you are. My God, it'd be great if people would just throw their money in and not make everybody have to fight for it.
Well, we're not fighting for it.
We're
begging for it.
Avoid the fundraiser. What a great idea. I never thought of it.
Avoid the fundraiser. Yeah, well, it's good to see your smiling face as well. And before we get into the sort of core of the interview, how's life been in Las Vegas for you?
It's been fine. I'm there taking care of my mom, and that's great to spend time with her. She's delightful. Las Vegas is a beautiful place. I thought it was going to take me a long time to adjust back to it. That's where I was raised, but it's really just as interesting as probably anywhere in the world, including Santa Fe. It's a beautiful place.
What's the most interesting thing about Las Vegas?
For me, just transitioning to a small town where a lot of people know each other, have a lot of family connections, a lot of history. It's very livable. It's a beautiful, beautiful town, as a lot of people know. You can walk. I like to walk from one place to another, get almost everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's just warm. It's just fun. It's I'm not lacking anything over there whatsoever.
All right, great. I'm glad to hear that you're happy there. All right, but we're going to be hearing some music, recorded music of yours, and we're going to talk about writing songs and that sort of thing. Let's start with a tune called "I Love You, George," and use that before we get into playing that song as a sort of an entree into the world of songwriting. What would you like to sort of share about this song? First of all, did you write this song?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Back when I was kind of into this phase of writing, which started about 1972, I started being in a few bluegrass bands and writing and recording a lot of songs and recording them for the sake of recording. I forget what the inspiration was, but I wrote this song about George Jones, who most people know was just the greatest country singer of the past few decades. He just had this fantastic voice.
He was an icon.
It was a thing in itself, yes, and he happened to get some of the best country songs written, many of which written by a guy whom I've gotten to know, which is another thrill that makes this whole thing double. But anyway, I did write this song. And shortly after I wrote it, I hooked up with an old buddy from L.A. who was a record producer I knew when we were both out there. And he had become a big a movie producer. He's now a big movie producer. His name is Gary Getzman. But at the time, he was a music supervisor. And we hooked up after many years. And he said, "Hey, I'm coming out to New Mexico. I could use some music." And I sent him a tape of a few things. And he loved this song. The movie in no way related to George Jones. But it was just a song called "I Love You, George," about how great George Jones was. And it was a clever little song. And it was in this movie. It's made me thousands of dollars over the years for having been in one movie. And from BMI, the publishing rights organization. And it was in a book. It is in a book. And when George Jones died recently, I knew this was going to happen one day. I looked around for a recording of it, and I couldn't find any of my previous recordings of it. So I re-recorded it. Did a recording and a video, and it got a lot of play in the days after, the weeks after George Jones passed away. It's a sweet tribute to him.
Let's hear it now.
Take George Jones. Please take him to that opera they call the Met. You seen nothing yet till you seen George in Parasites, singing with a woman in a helmet and horns all night, an Italian tune. It'd be amazing what that country boy could do, singing Mozart, Bach, or Verdi on the big stage in New York. Give the man a mic and let him work. Yes, I love you, George, when you sing about a broken heart. The way your syllables never seem to finish once they start. The way you can take a single word and make it into one whole song. George, I hope that you keep singing loud and long. People say I could listen to him read the telephone book all day, but I'll go you one better. George, come to our town, please, and sing the dictionary backwards in Japanese. Hello, Mom.
Yes, son.
Have you heard George Jones' latest cheating song?
I don't believe so.
I know you don't like country music, but don't you just love the way George sings the things that we can only sing? Yes, I love you, George, when you sing about a broken heart. The way your syllables never seem to finish once they start. The way you can take a single word and make it into one whole song. George, I hope that you keep singing loud and long. People say, I love you, dear, 100,000 ways. But when I say I love you, now, George, don't get me wrong. I'm talking about the way you sing those songs. Cause we love you, George, when you sing about a broken heart. The way your syllables never seem to finish once they start. The way you can take a single word and make it into one whole song. George, we hope that you keep singing loud and long. Yeah, we hope that you keep singing loud and long.
I love you, George. Original music there from Jim Turr, who's in our studio today. Well, that's a fun tune. And
yes, thank you.
Now, what insights does that song give you into the fine art of songwriting, which you're going to be doing a workshop on Thursday, June 13th at Collected Works?
I don't know what insights it gives me. It reminds me that, like probably anything, you put out a better product when you're charged up. And I don't think I sat down and said, let's write a tribute song to George Jones. I think I was just possessed with some enthusiasm about him. He is great, and he has recorded some of my favorite songs. And I just had this burst of inspiration, I think, mm-hmm. about him, and it all came pouring out. I don't claim what Kinky Friedman used to say. I came home from Pee Wee Golf one night, and there was this song up on my refrigerator. It's not like that, but sometimes they just come out more easily than others,
uh-huh.
with less thought.
Uh-huh. Well, that's an interesting sort of observation, too, that sometimes you don't need to think the song through, that they just come out and present themselves. Maybe not on the refrigerator, but...
Well, you need to have worked and polished your craft and I think studied other, at least in this area of songwriting I'm involved in, which is... country commercial songwriting, trying to write songs that can be cut by a major artist, make money, be popular with people. That's a specific area, but that is my area. And so you really need to listen to what's out there and get it very ingrained before you can go farther out with it, I think.
Did you know I used to be a country music DJ at a couple of big country music stations on the East Coast?
No, I didn't. You still like country? Or did you ever?
Well, you know, I liked country so much that we kind of developed our own genre back in the early 70s called album-oriented country.
Oh, yeah.
And because the standard fare, the top 40 country, was all, you know, pretty bland. It was all pretty much formulaic.
What years did you say?
Oh, that would have been, let's see, my country era was probably ending in 1973, 70, 71 through 73. And, you know, it was actually a pretty boring medium, except if you got into the albums and played the tunes that weren't making the top 10 list, you know.
Well, I liked a lot of that stuff, just a different taste, I guess.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess, you know, I liked something that had a little bit more diversity to it. It wasn't so packaged and commercial and formulaic and designed to sound like all the other country music tunes. Mm-hmm. How has that changed over the years?
Well, that's gotten worse, in most people's opinion. You know, as, from my perspective, the 90s and the 80s were a rich period of country music. I'm sure there were people who didn't like what was out commercially, but I did. I found it very interesting, comforting. I liked the storytelling. Tom T. Hall, the George Jones and Tammy Wynette songs, Johnny Paycheck. I love all that stuff. And it, I think it's gotten a little, most people feel it's gotten a little more bland since then, a little more rock. As
sure.
Some people say the only place you can hear pop music anymore is on country radio.
Mm-hmm.
So in answer to your question, I think it's gotten worse. But I think there's a bigger market for really unusual, quirky stuff like I write a lot of the time.
Uh-huh.
And traditional stuff like I write some of the time.
We're going to take a really short break, come back, and we're going to ask you more about the quirky stuff you write.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what you've had recorded. If you've had any, you know, good tunes out there that have been picked up by artists. And, oh, should mention, too, your songwriter workshop called The Songwriter at Collected Works Bookstore, Thursday, June 13th. Workshop at 4 p.m., performance at 6 p.m. It's free, but, you know, you might want to pick up a CD or two while you're there.
Yeah.
And for reserving space, why don't you email bluecanyon2@juno.com and just put in the subject line, reserve space for June 13th songwriting workshop.
That's for the workshop. You don't need to reserve. To just show up at 6.
For the performance.
Right.
And there's no admission, but, you know, the request is that you maybe pick up a CD there.
Yes.
Pay for your gas money and all that. Okay.
Exactly.
Jim Turr, our guest here on The Journey Home. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment. My guest in the studio, an old buddy of mine, Jim Turr, who's putting together The Songwriter, which is a workshop that is designed to help people learn how to write songs for mainly country, folk, and rock. Jim, welcome back.
And, thank you.
Great to have you with us. So you have been endeavoring to write and publish songs for a number of years. How successful have you been?
Well, I've had songs that I have published more successful in being cut by major artists. Songs by other artists, in other words. My friend Steve Young, who wrote that song Seven Bridges Road, which was an Eagles hit, guy I've known for years, he wrote a song which I published, and it was gotten to Hank Williams Jr., and he recorded it called Montgomery in the Rain, it was called Always Loving You, actually. And another song that I published by another writer was eventually cut by Crystal Gayle. Of course, you remember Crystal Gayle from those days. And I, for instance, recorded several albums by other artists, and including Slim Pickens, if you remember Slim
sure
Pickens.
Sure do.
And so some of those songs were mine, including one which later got, some of us feel, got adapted by David Allan Coe and recorded as a hit called The Ride, about a ghost of Hank Williams returning. But I've had more success with jingles. You may have heard Toss No Moss.
Sure.
Which is the longest running jingle in New Mexico. Sing a Song of Snapple, which a lot of people remember, was mine. And so I've probably done more with jingles than reaching the golden ring with country music. But I'm writing stuff that has an older style that's coming back, and I've certainly got lots of it. And I've now got the support of a guy, in addition to getting a nice, endorsement from Tom T. Hall himself, who's my idol. My other big idol in country music is a guy named Bobby Braddock, who wrote many of George Jones's and Tammy Wynette's big hits, and a lot of more recent hits, and a lot of the songs that I've recorded over time turned out to be his songs.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a fan, I'd say, now, and been very supportive, and might help my songs get around Nashville.
Great. Well, I want to hear another tune of yours, and you suggested this one from sort of a CDR that you brought in, and we're not sure what the name of it is, but it'll probably become apparent. Okay, and it's from your CDR Sentimental?
Songs for Sentimentalists.
Songs for Sentimentalists. Okay.
There's a small cafe in town. I don't want to say run down, but it's clear that it has seen some better days. But there's one thing that they serve, something that we all deserve, that makes this more than just a small cafe. It ain't the coffee, sometimes too old, and it can run from warm to cold, and sometimes Marie forgets to bring the cream. It ain't the fries, little too much salt, the iced tea, well that's not their fault. The silver's worn, but usually pretty clean. It's a little thing they do for the past decade or two. Every time Thanksgiving Day comes back around, anyone who wanders in, rich or poor, obese or thin, gets a turkey dinner. Won't you please sit down? How can they afford to feed several hundred folks in need? It ain't like they're real busy, like I say. I guess they feel like they must. It's only fair, it's only just. With the blessings which do daily come their way. It's just a little thing they feel they can offer, just one meal, to the folks who otherwise don't get a break. Little turkey, little stuffing, a little salad, buttered muffin, nothing huge, but it's why I eat at that place. Yeah, it's just a little thing they do for the past decade or two. Every time Thanksgiving Day, it rolls around. Anyone who wanders in, rich or poor, obese or thin, gets a turkey dinner. Here, come and sit down. Yeah, it's just a small cafe way downtown.
Songs for Sentimentalists. Boy, that's a good song, Jim.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you like that.
That's not the sort of song that sort of drove me out of country music. That's the sort of song that would have kept me in.
Well, but see, there were songs like that occasionally in country music that really touch you.
Sure.
Really touch you and tell a very sweet story. And in fact, that was inspired by a restaurant over in Las Vegas, New Mexico that does that on Thanksgiving. They just open up and make Thanksgiving dinner for whoever comes in. And that's the kind of thing I like. And I like celebrating that in the country song.
Well, it's authentic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the best songs are.
Yeah, they are.
Including those by George Jones you probably didn't like. You should probably listen to them again.
No, let's give George Jones a pass on that. So, when it comes to writing songs, where do you begin? In terms of, say, putting together a workshop like this, what are some of the things that you're going to be covering?
You know, I have absolutely no idea what I'm going to do in the workshop.
I'm hoping that some kids
and adults who like to write will come in, play some of what they're writing, and we'll talk about it. It will go from there, see what issues come up as far as what could make them better, particularly in the area of, I mean, it's not like I wasn't raised on rock and roll and everything else. But in terms of writing, my focus is the more storytelling songs like country, some of the folk songs, rock, some of the rock that is lyrically oriented and story oriented. That's what I like to deal with and talk about most and have studied most. And my idol, Tom T. Hall, whom you certainly know, is known as the storyteller. And this guy, Bobby Braddock, the writer of many of these hits over the past 30 years, including the all-time country song, which I, by the way, recorded on this album as a tribute, He Stopped Loving Her Today. You remember that one?
I'm trying to remember that
one. He stopped loving her today because he died, you know, that's the idea. Anyway, it's considered the classic country song of all time by many people. And this guy, Bobby Braddock, wrote it, and I recorded it on this
album. It's been 30 years since I've been in that end of the business, so, you know. But,
that's okay.
Yeah. Well,
I'm here to relight the candle for you.
All righty. Well, thank you. We could relight the radio show with one more song before we run out of time here. You want to select one?
Oh, I can't think what I told you. I wasn't ready to select anything. Anything that's been marked.
How about 20 years ago?
That's another very touching song, like the last one, in my opinion. The kind of song I want to write more of. It is a tribute to Tom T. Hall and George Jones. Yes, and Bobby Braddock, this writer that I've talked
to. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And we're seeing if we can get that queued up here.
And by the way, is it okay to mention I'm going to be interviewed Sunday here at 7 o'clock?
Another
long interview on Gotta Dance about my songwriting history. That woman really dug up some bones, I want to tell you.
Good. Sunday, 7 o'clock on 101.1 FM, this radio station,
yes.
KSFR.
If you want to hear more about this topic.
Gotta Dance. Great. And so let's hear about the song 20 Years Ago, and that'll take us to the end of this segment here with Jim Turr. We'll give you the details about the workshop on the backside of this song.
Heard my voice as I walked by. She said it almost made her cry. It took her back about 7 years before her life was filled with tears. Before she became mostly blind and pretty much had lost her mind. She touched my hand and grabbed my wrist and sat me down and told me this. I wish my daughter married you, a heart so strong and brave and true, to make her life on earth complete and give her daughters strong and sweet, to hold her gently when she cries, to make her life go sweetly by. I can tell you're strong and true. I wish she'd had someone like you. Who knows what a person sees whose mind has left her by degrees. Maybe she's completely lost or wiser than the rest of us. She sensed a possibility I'd like to think applies to me. What two hearts in love could create if things worked out completely great. Could she hear what I yearned to say? How I recalled her smile that day. I held her hand so soft in mine and tried to get my thoughts in line. I'm glad you think that I'm the man you'd like to take your daughter's hand. Somewhere inside I'm sure you know I did that 20 years ago. Yes, who knows what a person sees whose mind has left her by degrees. Maybe she's completely lost, wiser than the rest of us.
Tune titled 20 Years Ago by Jim Turr. Jim, thanks for coming in today. It's been a real
thank
pleasure.
Thank you so much. It's great to see you, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to come over and give you a big hug in 1 second.
Yeah, alrighty. So let me get the details out on this workshop here as we go to Jim Hightower. Going to be at Collected Works on Thursday, June 13th. The workshop at 4 p.m., the performance at 6 p.m., and there's going to be, some really great opportunities to kick around some ideas about your song. So come and bring your songs, even if they seem a little half-baked.
To the workshop.
To the workshop. And the performance, we'll find out more about that, right?
I hope to see some of you there. I hope to see you there, Diego.
I hope to be there, too.
Oh, great.
Alrighty. To reserve space for the workshop, email bluecanyon2@juno.com, and in the subject, reserve space for June 13th songwriting workshop. Okay?
And that's free.
And it's free. Okay, Jim, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And we're going to be meeting up with Jim Hightower in just seconds. After that, for all you youngish people grappling with adulthood, Kelly William Brown joins us with some humorous and practical advice on adulting.
Do you mind if I stick around and listen to that?
You could probably use a little bit of that.
Totally.
Me too. Stay with us. You're on the Journey Home, the Friday Weekend Warm-Up here on 101.1 FM, Santa Fe Public Radio.
I'll bet that Mark Twain, who wrote the celebrated Jumping Frog of Calaveras County, would have loved a current saga that I call The Jumping Congress Critter of Frog Jump, Tennessee. The critter's name is Stephen Fincher, a millionaire agribusiness operator, gospel singer, and Tea Party Republican who was elected to Congress in 2010 from the greater metropolitan area of Frog Jump. Declaring limited government to be his priority, the 40-year-old right-winger recently jumped all over the food stamp budget, demanding that $20 billion and 2 million poverty-stricken families be chopped out of the program. In his attack, Fincher cited an odd moral source to rationalize his minginess toward America's poor families. The Bible. "The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat," declared the Bible-thumping budget whacker, quoting the Book of Thessalonians. Of course, several passages in the Bible depict Jesus teaching an exact opposite moral code. Indeed, a heavenly duty of generosity toward the poor. But Fincher the Austerian was not about to let Jesus trump the Tea Party's small government dogma. "We have to remember," he lectured, "that this is other people's money that Washington is appropriating and spending." "Piously put, sir." But then, the critter from Frog Jump suddenly leapt to another budgetary lily pad. Now, the limited government ideologue became a croaking free spender, demanding a $9 billion increase in a taxpayer subsidy program that protects, guess who, the income of a few agribusiness outfits like his. This is Jim Hightower saying, in fact, Fincher is the second largest recipient of farm subsidies in Congress, having taken at least $3.5 million in, quote, other people's money in the past dozen years. For more information on this hopping hypocrite, go to Environmental Working Group at EWG.org.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.